Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. It's a joy to be with you again today, and in the studio with me is my co-host, Dr. Les Olala, who is the chancellor at Northern Baptist Bible College. Doc, it's good to have you today, and I know that you've been out and about this summer doing a ton of speaking away, and so we're glad to be able to have you again today in the program. You have a guest with you today.
Yes, a man I met in Atlanta, Georgia, on a golf course. And I met Lance Herron, and you meet an individual, and you very quickly bond with some people. Mm-hmm. And our hearts bonded together on that golf cart. And I found a man who loved God but had an interesting testimony. Here's a man at the top of the corporate world, but yet he found that there is an emptiness. There had a faithful wife who diligently became a witness, and I thought it would be great to have him share testimony as he is here for the businessmen's retreat.
When you shared that with me and I had an opportunity to get to know Lance, I was excited for the opportunity. I know that many of our listeners are going to be able to relate to what he has to say. Lance, tell us a little bit about your background and the company.
Yes, I was president and chief operating officer of Lanier Worldwide. It's an office products company that services accounts all over the U.S., all over the world. In fact, we're in 105 countries, 8,500 employees. And just 2.5 years ago, I had to retire.
And so now you are footloose and fancy free, or?
Not exactly. I'm serving on four different boards and doing a lot of work at my church and with mission boards and with our children and my grandchildren.
Now, you're married?
Married, have three children, seven grandchildren, which obviously keeps us very busy.
Wow. Yeah. Now, how did you and Doc O met? You talked about golfing together on in Atlanta.
Well, you remember we had the meeting down there at Tom Stoltz's place.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Of course, Lance lives on the same golf course there. And we had the Introduced to Northland meeting, as you may remember, and you golfed with one group, one of the guys throwing clubs in that group, and we were laughing about that today at lunch. And Lance and I got put on the same cart together, and I thought, boy, what a tremendous guy. I mean, you know when a guy loves the Lord and wants to communicate that love to the Lord. So I got delving into the background and discovered just a man who has a testimony that we need to hear.
Sure. Well, how did you come to know the Lord, Lance?
Thanks for asking, Sam. I was in my late 20s. I was with Lanier. I was a sales representative in Tampa, Florida. Very successful in the eyes of the world and from our friends and family. But the more I earned and the more success I seemed to achieve, the less it meant. And there was just a great emptiness in my life that I could not understand. And so a very good friend of mine who was an insurance executive in Tampa took me to a businessman's luncheon. And for the first time in my life, I was confronted with what my life was going to be like in eternity. And I hadn't given that much thought, quite frankly.
Sure.
I was having too much fun in business and making money and having this success. And it really burdened me when I heard this man's testimony of how he had come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior.
Now, had you been a church-going person? Did you grow up in a home where your mom and dad took you to church?
Came up in a wonderful home. I was in church all of my youth. I was president of our youth group. But I had never been confronted with the true gospel of knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the first time I heard that, quite frankly, Sam, I was sickened and turned off because I felt like my destiny was in my hands, and I could control my life. But my wife, unbeknownst to me, 2 years before this happened, came to know Christ as her Savior. And during that time, she prayed diligently with many of our friends who, and I knew something was going on because they were all different, and they were all very interested in me, and this Bill Thomas, good friend of mine, kept calling me and asking me to go to this luncheon again, and I kept lying to him and saying, you know, I had a meeting or I couldn't go or whatever. I didn't want to go. But for some reason, I did go again. And one night at my home, I became very convicted because each success I had just brought great emptiness, and I couldn't understand it. And I came to the realization after reading a book my wife left in my lounge chair of how this man came to know Christ. And I read the testimony at the end. And that night in my home, I asked Jesus Christ to save me. I asked him to forgive me for the sin in my life and to take over my life and to save me from my sin. And my life changed dramatically from that point.
So you were at that age, how old were you at that time?
I was 28 years old.
28 years old. And you've been with Lanier for?
I've been with Lanier 2.5 years.
Two and a half years.
Mm-hmm. Were you patient with your wife as you saw this change in her, or did you give her a hard time at all? Or
I wish you hadn't asked me that. I was pretty bad. She would talk about the Bible, and I would refute everything in the Bible with secular literature and philosophy and my own personal selfishness, and to the point where she would not talk to me anymore about it. It would always bring her to tears and a fight or an argument. And so the night I got saved, we just got remarried that night.
Amen. Started a whole new relationship. Holy Spirit was just convicting, and you were kicking against that conviction and finally swallowed your pride. And because there are a lot of men listening, driving to work, listening to this broadcast, or perhaps driving from work, depending on what time that is, that may be facing the same emptiness, mm-hmm. because only God knows who all tunes into this for whatever reason. That's why I felt so crucial that you shared, because there is a great vacuum in the hearts of people who have found success, thinking that was the ultimate, and yet they realize the major factor missing from their life was the God factor, and completely ignored the claims of Christ in their life completely. And to see the tenderness in your heart, Lance, after all these years,
yeah.
is a joy. I wish you could be in the studio with us to see this man in a genuine...
He just never got over it.
Never got over it, exactly, because there is a whole new life. And so when you got saved then what happened?
Well, that's it's just one wonderful thing after another. It doesn't mean, you know, all my problems went away or anything like that, but... I saw life from a whole new perspective. First thing that happened was I was interested in reading the Bible, and my wife was obviously shocked. And it meant that it was like the scales had been taken off my eyes. Every word I read, I just clung to. It meant something to my heart. It was speaking to me. The life that I was living changed in this respect. Instead of looking for everything for myself, my selfishness, the riches and all the things, the possessions I wanted to serve the Lord. We started in a new church. We began giving things that we just hadn't done in the past. And I prayed with my wife, and I prayed about every decision. And the Lord just took the old things away out of my life, the profanity and the drinking habits and the socializing and all those things. I didn't change anything. Obviously, God changed my entire heart, my life, and my desires. And business became fun. And even though I continued to gain success, the interesting thing was it was satisfying because I knew that God was allowing this to happen through me.
When you were saved, Lance, what position did you occupy in the corporation you were in?
I was a medical sales representative in Tampa, Florida.
Okay. How did being saved affect? I know you eventually became CEO and president, so obviously, you know, you ended up coming to the top. But what immediately happened after you were saved there at your workplace?
Well, I was on a sales commission, and, of course, that created a lot of anxiety for my wife at times. But after I was saved, I never had the anxiety. I knew that God would provide whatever we needed. We wanted to put our kids in Christian schools. And we didn't have the money at the time. And so all of a sudden, sales started just rolling in to provide for that as we prayed. Mm-hmm. The other wonderful thing that happened, I took a different view toward the customer that I was selling. I wanted more to help them than to help me. And I spent all of my time creating systems and procedures and changes for doctors and hospitals and later for attorneys and businessmen, other businessmen, to help them in their operations. And I thrust myself into their business to help them. As a result of that, I got rewarded by making sales.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I went at it at a total different perspective and prayed about every sale. And many of the times when you get in competition, you don't win every time.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
honestly, I can tell you today, I could still rejoice when I walked out of those businesses
yeah.
because I knew God was going to provide somewhere else. And he did.
Removed the anxiety factor completely. How did coworkers, what did they notice?
Well, the first thing in the business was my attitude toward them. Instead of having them as competitors and our outside competitors, because we, you know, competed for prizes and status and offices and all those things, I became their advocate. I tried to help them. I went into their territories, helped make sales for them, and it was an amazing thing.
So they noticed
oh,
something
yes.
different about you.
Right. My boss even called our president at the time and told him, something's happened to Lance. I don't know what it is, but he is a changed person, and he is great to work with.
Wow. What a testimony.
Boy. If any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. And that certainly is a walking testimony from your standpoint. Then where did you go from there?
Well, the company asked me to move to Atlanta in 1979 as an executive of part of the country. Long story short, in a few short years, I became president, chief operating officer. The company grew dramatically, and we were able to change the culture of the company to a more customer-driven organization. We won great awards for customer satisfaction. And doing my whole mission to the company was always do what's right first.
Yes, 8,500 employees under you. That must have boggled your mind at times, didn't it? Or
it did, but, you know, knowing the Lord and knowing the decisions we had to make and praying about every decision, I always had peace about even the tough decisions. This is the right thing to do. It affects the customer, it affects the employee, it affects the corporation, but we must do what's right. And that was always the approach I took.
Well, man, this has been fascinating. And Lance, would you stay over and do another program for us? I know there's much more. Les and I have some questions for you that we want to ask, and I know it'll be a blessing to our hearers. So if we could presume on you for another program, we'd love to do that.
I'd be happy to.
Doc, thank you for bringing Lance on and for introducing our hearers to him. I know it'll be a great blessing to many of them as they factor his testimony into their life right now. Many of them, as you said, are dealing with that emptiness in their life, and I know his words will be a great blessing. Dr. Les Olala has a book out. It is a family devotional journal entitled Manna. And so if you will contact us and let us know that you want a copy of that, we'll be happy to send it to you.